and from you. And Lord, I ask that it will become lifestyle to us. In Jesus' precious name, that it will quicken our spirits and we shall receive it and walk in it for your praise and for your glory. Amen. Well, who's had a stressful week? Well, I think this word applies to us all. To some it's new, to others it's a timely reminder. But this will not be lost on anybody, I promise you. We've all had our own things to sort this week, and mine got stressful too. And on Tuesday I thought, oh God, I don't know whether I'm my head or my heels, I don't know whether I'm coming or going, but I'm glad you do. And so I picked up my Bible and I read this verse: for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose heart is true to him. And I thought, God, you're going to strengthen my heart because you know it's fixed on you. I don't know the way through this week, but you sure do. And I'm going to quit trying to worry. I'm going to quit trying to plan. I'm just going to roll it all over onto you. And the devil continued to try and wind me up. And I've no doubt he does the same to you, because he has nothing new under the sun, is there? He always uses the same old things and operates the same old way. But I was blessed when I came in today, because Ellen says to me, I'm too busy winning to lose. Amen. I can't lose for winning. That's it. And if we'll just get that fixed from here into our spirits, we'll be winners every time. When I was thinking about this word, it came to me on Monday. I thought, Grace, you're having a fantastic week and you're preaching on Sunday. I thought, when am I going to have time to get anything prepared? And anyway, I thought, you know, when you can't handle anything, let me give you a tip. Take a day at a time. And if you can't handle a day at a time, take an hour at a time. But whatever you can handle, just take that little bite-sized portion, and forget about the rest. You'll sort that when you get to it. So I thought, well, we'll deal with Monday. And you know, now I look back at the week, we went through all the days of the week and it got to Saturday morning and I wasn't stressed. But I woke up on Saturday morning, I thought, help! I'm preaching tomorrow and I don't know what I'm going to preach on. And then all of a sudden, into my spirit, dropped a little picture. And when we were in the States, I've seen it before, but it reminded me again, people wearing t-shirts, and it says on these t-shirts, too blessed to be stressed. And I thought, that's it, too blessed to be stressed. Or is it to you, I'm too stressed to be blessed? Have we got it the wrong way around? Well, today I think God wants to remind us, we're too blessed to be stressed. And if you don't remember anything else, tomorrow morning when you wake up, say this: I'm too blessed to be stressed. Alright, Graham? I am too blessed to be stressed. If you don't learn anything else, if you learn that, and then it begins to come back to you, the blessings that are yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to start by reading 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. And I'm going to go through, and it sounds a lot, but it's not. I'm going to go through chapters 14, 15 and 16 and just pick some things out here. So if you can follow along with me, your version might be different to mine. Mine's the New Revised Standard Version, but it works for me today. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we'll start at verse 1. That's a good place to start, isn't it? So Abijah slept with his ancestors, and they buried him in the city of David. his son Asa succeeded him. In his days, the land had rest for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. He took away the broken altars and the high places, broke down the pillars, hewed down the sacred poles, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to keep the law and the commandment. He also removed from all the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars. And the kingdom had rest under him. He built 45 cities in Judah while the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. He said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. The land is still ours, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace on every side." And so they built and prospered. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 troops from Benjamin, who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty warriors. Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots, and came as far as Marishah. Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephthah at Marishah. Asa cried to the Lord his God, "O Lord, there's no difference for you between helping the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this great multitude. O Lord, you are our God, let no mortal prevail against you." So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the army with him pursued them as far as Gera, and the Ethiopians fell until no one remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The people of Judah carried away a great quantity of booty. They defeated all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord was on them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. They also attacked the tents of those who had livestock and carried away sheep and goats in abundance and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. A few things to notice here. Under Asa, they had rest. They had no war. Why? Because Asa listened to God. Just keep that in your heart. Just keep that in your mind. Chapter 15. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you seek him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you." For a long time, Israel was without teaching the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. You know, just a point here. The Word of God says in Hebrews that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Now don't ever forget that. But the reason he will abandon his children, in the sense of, I don't believe he abandoned them under this old covenant, it said, but he never left them. Abandon in the sense that he left them because we have a choice, they had a choice. They could go God's way or they could go their own way. Now if you choose to go God's way, you've got all the might and the power and the anointing of God, and you will win. Never forget this. If you choose God's way, you will always win. But if you choose your own way, God will take his hands off it and he'll say, "Carry on." He's a gentleman. He won't ever impose his will on you. He gives us a free choice. He said, you either choose me and win, or you go your own way, and if you lose, and you probably will, then I've got to let you do that. Because you've got to learn. There's only one way, and it's God's way. And in the sense, I believe what this is what abandon means in this sense. He had to leave them to their own devices, but he never left them, and he never forsook them. He was always there for them. The minute they realised they'd gone the wrong way and they cried out to him, he was there for them. In those times, it wasn't safe for anyone to go or come, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces, nation against nation and city against city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. Does that ring bells? I think we've got nations that are like that at the minute, don't you? It's not safe to go out anywhere. There's nation against nation, city against city. I wonder why. Do you think it's because we've decided we know better? And we've decided we'll do it our way. But you know, the people of God, for the people of God it's different, because it says in that verse, in verse 7, Asa said, the prophet said to Asa, but you take courage, don't let your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. God rewards our work, he honours our faith, and he's always there for us. When Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah son of Oded, he took courage, and he put away all the abominable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule of the house of the Lord. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon who were residing as aliens with them. For great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You know, people want to be around you. When God's with you and they see the power of God on you, when they see the anointing on you, people come. They come from all over. They want to be with you. They want to know. They want what you've got. Well, praise God. God is looking for a people who can manifest his power. Verse 10. They were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. They sacrificed to the Lord on that day, from the booty that they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and with all their soul. Whoever wouldn't seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with horns. All Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. You can't miss the point here that I'm trying to make, can you? When we seek the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and we put him first, we will have rest on every side, because the Lord will deal with our enemies. Let's go into chapter 16. We notice here, right up to the 35th year of the reign of Asa, that was the whole time that he followed God. Throughout that time, his heart did not turn from God. He was focused, he was committed to God, he served him with all his heart. But we see a turn in the 36th year of his reign. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, King Baasha of Israel went up against Judah and built Ramah to prevent anyone from going out or coming into the territory of King Asa of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord in the king's house and sent them to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who resided in Damascus, saying, let there be an alliance between me and you, like that between my father and your father. I'm sending to you silver and gold. Go break your alliance with King Baasha of Israel, so that he may withdraw from me. Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. They conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built up Geba and Mizpah. A few points to notice here. You know, in this incident, when the king of Israel came against the king of Judah, the king of Judah, Asa, didn't call on God. He started to seek his own devices, and he went for the help of man. He went for the help of King Ben-Hadad of Aram, and that was his mistake. He should never ever have done that. He should have done what he did previously and called on God. But he didn't. He thought he knew better. He sought man's help. And you know, when we seek man's help, it becomes very expensive. He had to rob the king the treasures of the house of God. And it cost him dearly to hire King Ben-Hadad of Aram. When we look to man charges us. You know, when you go to the doctors, it costs you a fortune in prescriptions. You know, there's nothing comes free in this world system. The god of this world is what? Money, and everything revolves around it. So we need to keep away. We need to seek God's help and learn from what King Asa's mistake. And we also see another thing there. Asa said to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, "Break your alliance with the king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." Money again. If you pay me enough, I'll break that contract that I've got. Another thing, we've done a session on covenant, and covenant says, this covenant between you and me is unbreakable. I will not break it, no matter what. That's what God says. That's the covenant that God has with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never break his covenant with us. He's always there for us. Even when we turn away, when we turn back, he's there. And he'll forever send people. All the time we're running in the wrong direction. He'll always send somebody along to divert our path and to bring us back to God. Because God's so faithful. He'll never let us down. He's always concerned for us. He's always there for us. But you know, that's not the world's way. The world says, you'll pay me enough money and I'll ditch him and I'll come with you. So don't ever trust in the world system, because it's all run by money. It's the root of all evil, the love of money. And that's what the world operates on, a money system. And it'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. Verse 7. At that time the seer Hanani came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped you." Aram is actually modern day Syria, and Aram means high and exalted. And we can see here that Asa had an opportunity to show the power of God, but instead he chose to go to Aram, the high and exalted ways of man. And he had an opportunity to show man and the world system that God's ways was higher than theirs. But you know, he missed that opportunity. Instead, he went to the world. And it cost him dearly, more than he was prepared to pay. You know, when he followed God and when he let God do the job, then he came out with an abundance. He came out with the plunder. He came out with an abundance from the situation. He came out really well off. But you know, when he chose man, he came out poor, because he'd paid dearly for help that he received. And he thought that the situation was resolved, but it wasn't. He'd taken a step backwards, not a step forwards. in verse 8, Hanani said to Asa, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with exceedingly many chariots and cavalry? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose heart is true to him. You have done foolishly in this. From now on you will have wars." You know, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. If we'll call on God, we will always win. There's no enemy, there's no situation that you're ever involved in that is too big for God. You need to remember that. But if you choose to fight it your way, if you choose to deal with it, then God will take his hands off it and he'll say, "Well, carry on." And you'll get second best and it'll cost you dearly. And you'll not come out of it prosperous, you'll come out of it worse off. But here we're learning from Asa's mistake that if we will, when Asa was following God, when his heart was completely sold out for God, he trusted God for everything. And God's been challenging us, I think, over these past few months. It's time to trust him more, to trust him with everything, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing in our lives. We've got to trust God. If we choose not to, and we decide that we're going to take second best and do it our way, then we're going to get poor results, and we're not going to be blessed. We're going to be stressed. And God doesn't want his people stressed. He wants us walking carefree in a careful world. And no, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is, God has a plan. And if we'll just say, "God, I can't handle this. It's too big for me. I don't know what to do. My mind's saying I should be doing something. My old nature, the flesh man, saying, do something, say something, act. But I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. What do I do, God?" And God says, "Be still. Just be still. And if he doesn't tell you to do anything, then don't do anything." And the devil will tell you, "You're being irresponsible. You should say something. You should correct that person. They're wrong." Well, maybe they are. But if God doesn't tell me to do anything, I'm not going to do anything. And I'm going to hand it over to him. And I'm going to let him sort it out. And I tell you, whenever I've done that, sometimes within hours, usually within days, the whole thing is resolved. Because God has a plan and God has a way. And his ways are far higher than our ways. And he can deal with anybody on any situation that you can't. And he knows, he sees the full picture. He knows the whole story. He knows how that other person's feeling. He knows what's motivating that other person. You don't. You can only follow what you observe. You don't have inside information. Sometimes we wish we did, but we don't. And you know, God doesn't want us to be stressed and full of care. He wants us to just offload onto him. And it sounds terribly irresponsible. Ivy came and said to me, "Well, what do I do when I don't know what to do?" It seems just totally irresponsible to just ditch it. But please remember, just ditch it on God and say, "God, I don't know what to do. Here, it's yours." Just see yourself picking the whole thing up and throwing it on God and saying, "God, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to read your word and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you and you sort it out. If somebody's got their knickers in the knot, you sort them out. If somebody's not doing what they should be doing, you sort them out. God will do it. He's a master. He has a plan." Let's go to verse 10 of chapter 16. Well, the latter part of verse 9. "You have done foolishly in this," the seer said to Asa. For from now on you will have wars. If we do it our way, we'll have wars. If you sow in strife, if you sow strife, you'll reap strife. Don't forget that. Then Asa was angry with the seer. And he put him in the stocks. They did that to Jeremiah too. And they put him in prison. For he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties on some of the people at the same time. You know, Asa was furious when the seer or the prophet told him the truth. And you know, when somebody's coming against you and they're wrong, the last thing they want to hear is the truth. And they will, when somebody's in a rage, when somebody's got it wrong, they will become, if we get it wrong and we do things in the flesh, in the natural, become angry and frustrated. And that's what Asa was becoming. He was angry, he was frustrated, and he was taking it out on the innocent. He was taking it out on everyone around him because he didn't like what he was being told. He didn't like the situation he was in. He had no peace. He was sowing in strife, and strife was coming back to him. And you know, when we get into that situation, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, I've done it myself, but you know, God says we're of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Asa was, he was not in righteousness, he was not in peace, and he was not in joy. And alarm bells should have started ringing. He should have recalled how God had helped him in the past, but instead he was just getting more and more angry and trying to justify himself. He got in a rage. And you know, when we get the wrong attitude, we need to always have an attitude of gratitude. But when we get out of that, you know, there's no peace, there's no joy, and it's the devil's highway. Catherine spoke last week of the highway of holiness. That's the highway we should be on, that highway of joy and peace and sowing peace. And just walking through and letting God deal with all the... Well, if you're walking on that highway of holiness, there are no wars. There is no strife. It's peace. It's joy. But you know, when you get on the highway, of the devil's highway, that's full of wars and strife and tension and pressure and stress, and what does it do? It destroys your body. The devil's highway is a highway of destruction. And he will destroy your body with stress. Believe you me, some of you are shaking your heads and you're saying, I know, I've been there, I've done it. Well, the good news is it's not too late, because God's highway is a highway of holiness, and God is a God of restoration, and he will restore to you what the devil has stolen. He's a master at doing that. But you know, God can heal us, but if we continue on in the pattern that we've already done, and it's just habit. It is literally just habit. We've always reacted this way. Well, you know, if that's the case, if you're in stress, then it's time to put the brakes on and say, hey, I'm stopping here. I'm going no further on this highway of the devil. I'm changing highways, and I'm going on the highway of holiness, the highway of peace, the highway of joy, the highway of blessing and prosperity and abundance. Now, am I dumb or what? Well, which highway would you rather be on? The choice is ours. We choose. God will never make you walk either highway. I know the one he wants you to walk, and I know the one that he's made provision for you to walk. But please, let's wise up. Let's do it. Let's follow God. Let him take the load. You know, God says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If at the minute you would just like to assess your week and see if you've come out of it, light or heavy, you know what to do. I hope. We need to get off that one get on that one. And it's as simple as that. The choice is ours. If you choose to stay on that one, then you'll continue in stress and it'll be a downward spiral. And the devil will take more than you're willing to pay. You'll give him a hand and he'll grab your arm and then he'll whip you in. And you're done, you're sunk. Until you stop and you say, God, help! And he's there for you, straight away. And you make a choice. God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to live this lifestyle. God's called me to peace. And to peace I'll go. If we'll make that choice, we'll walk stress-free in a stress-free world. And we'll be too blessed to be stressed. And the devil won't want to attack us. Because all the time he attacks us, the more blessed we get. Dumb. So, he'll try and get you on this highway again. Well, don't listen to him. Don't go on that highway. This is the highway of holiness. This is the one God wants us to walk. That's the one that's stress-free. It's light. It's easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's not called us to try and sort out and resolve situations. That's his problem. That's for him to do. It's not for you to do. The devil will tell you, you've got to do it. Joan, you've got to do something and you've got to do it now. And the devil wants to get you into that mindset where I've got to make a decision now. And you never make a decision when you're stressed up and you're feeling down or low, because you'll make the wrong one. The only decision you need to make and be conscious to make every day and all the day is, God, I don't know what to do, you do it. And you'll get the right answer and you'll walk in peace. And it says in verse 12, in the 39th year of Asa's reign, he became diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. Then Asa slept with his ancestors, dying in the 41st year of his reign. Up until his 36th year, Asa was a good king. And achieved a lot, achieved mighty and great victories, came out with, was so prosperous. His kingdom was at rest. His kingdom had peace while he followed God and while he listened to God and while he was obedient to God. But you know, his last few years, his last, when was it? 41st, last five years of his reign, he chose not to follow God. He chose man's ways. He thought he knew better than God, and he got second best, and he came out. He died very quickly. I believe he would have lived a lot longer had he have chosen God's way. He shortened his own life, and he came out poorer because of his decision. You know, there's so many lessons here. Yes, he was a good king overall, and they did celebrate his life, but it could have been even better. Could have done even greater victories. He could have lived longer. He could have borne testimony more and more to the power of God and the work of God. And I think there's a few things we need to remember also, that, you know, don't ever forget God's ways are opposite to our ways. I think we know that up here, but when you're faced with a situation, you tend to forget that this is the truth. You know, and I'll not say that when you cry out to God and you abandon a situation to God that it's all going to go the way you expect it to go, because it may not. We went on holiday 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just before I went on holiday, my boss said to me, Grace, there's going to be 60% of the staff made redundant next week. He said, but I just want you to know that your job is secure. However, we are looking for voluntary redundancies, and if it suits us, we'll take them. And we're also looking for people to reduce their hours, and if that fits, we may allow you to do that. So I went on holiday thinking, oh, what shall I do? Shall I volunteer for redundancy? I've got all my redundancy pay. And it was so appealing. And then I thought, after a while, I thought, maybe if I reduce my hours, that'll be better. I'll keep going a bit longer. reduce my hours. And I was up and down and toying with this throughout, on and off throughout the week. And then about the fourth or fifth day, God said to me, "I've protected your job." So I thought, you have, haven't you? You've protected me. I've told you what I want you to do. I thought, oh God, let me out. When are you going to let me out? And then when I went back to work, my boss wasn't there, and I spoke to the HR girl, and she said to me, has anybody mentioned to you what's happening, Grace? So I said, well, yeah, Martin did mention it before I left, and he said that there were going to be redundancies, some voluntary redundancies as well, if people wanted to. I said, does that include me? She said, no, your role's protected. I said, well, he did say about reducing hours. So she said, well, you better talk to him, see what he's got in mind. And when he came back, he only dumped on me two more jobs. I thought, God, I've got enough work to do. I don't want to be more stressed. And then God gave me this word, and I thought, I'm too blessed to be stressed. So be careful. You know, when you're thinking, you're working it out with this, you think, yes, I do need less work. I do need less hours. I could do this and I could help there. And Andrew's really busy at the unit and there's lots of work to be done and I could really help him and I could do more in the fellowship and we could get involved in this and we could do that. And then God says, no, just stay as you are until you get the next instruction. But God, I had a much better plan than you did. But God knows what he's doing. 2 years ago, our business was way down. And it was seemingly like God wanted to shut the door. And so we just said, well, right, God, what do you want us to do? Are you ready to shut it? If you are, then shut it. And what did he do? He turned it right round and sent it way up. He gave us more work than we've ever could possibly... Well, we are coping. Well, God's coping. I tell you, God has multiplied our business beyond measure. And I think this year is the best year we've ever had. And when you abandon it to God and you submit to his ways, he does absolutely amazing things, and there's lots of people in here I know can bear testimony to that. When you choose God, he'll turn the thing around. He may not do it the way you want to. He may, instead of taking pressure off you, he may add pressure. But he's watching and he's saying, what are you going to do? And for me, I went to work on Monday and I said, God, they've given me a job with no instructions and lots of implications and legal implications, and I don't know how to handle it and I don't know what to do and nobody knows, there's nobody to ask, so you'll do it. So when I got in on Monday morning, the first person came running in and asked me a question. I said, I don't know, I haven't a clue, but come back to me in an hour and I'll tell you. And you know, it's like, help God, help. And God has helped me. I've got through this week stress-free. And I've achieved more this week than in a normal week. And I tell you, if we'll walk with God, if every day we'll say, God, I'm going in, I give my day to you. I choose your way today. I speak God's ease into my day today. And I just ask you to do the job for me. If we'll go every day with that approach, we'll have a far easier way and a far easier lifestyle, and God will take care of everything that is facing us. And you know, I'm confident that God will not let me miss anything that is important, because those alarm bells will start ringing. Somebody will say something that will just trigger me to remember to do something. He will just take care of everything all along the way. But if I start to worry and get uptight, you know what's going to happen? He's going to take his hands off it. And guess what? I'm going to have to do it. And I tell you now, I can't do it. So there's only one way for me. I've got to say to God every day, you do it. You take care of it. You tell me when I need to do something. You prompt me. And I know I shall have no problems. And I shall get everything done that I need to do. Because I'm walking in your way and you can do a lot more than I can do. There's no limits on God. But if I choose to do it and figure it out for myself, then I'm limited. My resources are limited. And I'm not going to succeed. I'm going to get stressed and my body's going to tell. But if I can go with God's way, I know I can do all that He's called me to do. Because I'm not doing it, He's doing it. He's taking care of everything. And He will. He's totally faithful. He'll never let you down. You know, in the business, our business, with the massive increase, that's a tremendous blessing. But we, at the same time, the devil hit us, and he decided he was going to take this one off sick, and it was, this one was going out, and this one weren't being very helpful, and oh dear, well now we have a new opportunity to be stressed. But you know, we just said, God, we don't know what to do. It's holiday period. There's people coming and going. There's people off sick. We've got twice as much work. We're in up and down country. What are you going to do? And what did God do? Philip and Luke and Daniel, Zena, were available. Kids couldn't get jobs. We needed them. That's why. God has a plan. You know, they could have got stressed because they didn't have any finance over the holiday period and the kids didn't have an opportunity to earn. We could have got stressed because we didn't have the manpower. But God knew what He was doing and He connected the two. He met both needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He has a plan. Submit to God's plan. Also submit to God's timing. Don't forget, His timing is not your timing. He's doing a work. It's got to be God's way and it's got to be God's time. And you'll get the best job possible. And it'll be the least stressful way. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Another principle in God's kingdom is the way up is down. Has anybody learnt that? The way up is down. When Jesus died, it looked like it was finished. The disciples were truly convinced it was finished. It had lasted for a season. It was good while it lasted. We saw some good stuff. But now it's all over. But Jesus said, a seed has to go into the ground and die. And then what happens? It sprouts. It brings forth. And you get a mighty increase because of the death of that seed. It seemingly had died, but it hadn't died. It seemed when Jesus died, it was all finished. But 3 days later, He resurrected, and look what we've got now. God's timing, God's way. It'll look totally bleak. It'll look like it's failed. But it hasn't. It's just the seed's gone into the ground, and it's had to die. But out of that death will come resurrection life, will come multiplication, and there'll be far more lives than ever that one life could ever win. We sing that song, don't we? I want to be out of my depth in your love, feeling your arms so strong around me. But you know, when we get out of our depth, what do? God, I'm out of my depth. I can't handle it. I'm stressed. I'm screaming and shouting at everybody. There's no way out. God, there's no way out. But you know, we've got to learn to be out of our depth in His love. Because there is a way out. And God's the way out. God has a plan. Don't ever get stressed. Jonathan, let God do your work for you. You put yours in, but you let God take the load. But you've got to be obedient and do your bit. You've got to knuckle down and get to it. God will take you right through in victory. You'll come out with flying colours because God's for you. God is for us, not against us. He loves us dearly. He has a plan for us. His desire is not for us to be stressed or have any type of care. He wants us to be stress-free. It's time to wise up. You know, Job 23 and verse 10, I'd just like to read that one. Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God has planned your days from the minute you were to be born to the minute that you die. He's planned every day. So don't you try and take control of those days. You let God handle those days. And during the course of those days, he will test you. He will try you. There'll be situations you will always, every one of us, no one is exempt from coming up against a day when we are out of our depth and we cannot handle this. And God knows that. But on those days, he wants you to say, "God, I can't handle this. You take it. And I'll listen to you, I'll follow you, but you do it." And he'll take it, and he'll do it. And you'll come out in victory, and you'll come out prosperous, and you'll come out blessed, and you won't be stressed. But let God take the load. I don't care whether we're at home all day. There can be family situations. There can be personality clashes. Can be all sorts of things just in the course of the day, even if you don't set foot outside your door. You can still find yourself stressed in stressful situations. But you know, without we face these situations and know that God stressed, there is a way to walk in peace, and we're no different to them. We face the same situations that they face, but we choose to walk differently. We choose to handle it differently. We choose to let God deal with it, and therefore we come out in victory and we come out in peace. And even though there's turmoil in our situations, there's peace within us. There's no war in us. We're totally walking through in peace and letting God take the stress and the strain. And if we'll do that, we shall come forth as pure gold, as God intends us to. I read Psalm 20 and I love it. I'll just finish with this. Verses 1-9. "The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favour your burnt sacrifices. May he grant all your heart's desire and fulfil all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord will help his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with mighty victories by his right hand. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call." God's for you, not against you. You can never be a loser. So please, let's be too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Amen. I choose to be blessed. Let God take the load, and you'll be blessed and prosperous. Amen.